The book of Psalm, chapter number 5. If you have your Bibles tonight, Psalm chapter number 5. And I want to take the second verse of that chapter, Psalm chapter 5. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says this, and of course this is a Psalm of David, and he is always seemed like David is praying his way out of trouble and out of despair, and it seemed like David would fail God miserably, and then you say, well, why was David a man after God's own heart? I believe it was simply because David knew how to repent.
Yeah.
Amen. He knew how to repent. And here he is, verse 2. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray.
Yeah.
Now, I want to preach tonight for a few minutes on the value of prayer. The value of prayer. Lord, and bless your word tonight.
Yes.
And bless those that hear it. Bless the preacher that preaches it. And let your will be done in this service. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
My voice, will you hear the value? There is value in prayer.
Yes.
Prayer changes things.
Mm-hmm.
We've said that many, many times. Prayer changes things. In the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C., and for your information, in case you did not notice, it says Smithsonian Institution. That's Smithsonian. James Smithson, just for your information, donated the Smithsonian Institute to these United States of America. James Smithson, we like to refer to in the Smithson family as Uncle James.
Yeah.
And he was the one that donated that. A true story, he was an illegitimate child from the country of England. And because he was illegitimate, they would not receive his gift, and so he gave it to the United States of America. Just a little history trivia there that you needed to know, and especially that name, Smithsonian Institution.
Right.
You got
yes.
that tonight?
Yes.
Okay. In that Smithsonian Institution, there is a diamond there that's called the Blue Diamond, or the Hope Diamond. This is 45.52 carats, and it's worth over $200 million. That's pretty expensive, and there's quite a bit of importance put on that diamond. But there is something tonight that I want to talk about for the next few minutes, and that is the value of being able to come into the presence of the Lord. In the book of James, the Bible says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word effectual there in the Greek simply means the person that shows up. It's not how beautiful a prayer that I might pray, but it's being consistent with God and showing up in my daily prayer life. It is valuable to me. It's valuable to God. It's valuable to us as a church when we even enter into corporate prayer. Now then, that showing up, have you ever thought about the employee that shows up to work? There's something valuable about that. That employee may not be the wisest employee that's on the job, but he or she shows up to work, and so when there is thought given to that employee, the employer says there's value in that person. They may not be the best, They may not be the smartest, but they show up. And so I'm going to pay attention to what they've got to say. Yes. It's no different in this value of prayer. If we show up, if we pray, if we're fervent about it, and we're busy about the Father's business, there's value in it, and God likes that, and the smile of God will be upon our life.
Yes.
Prayer does something that I said this morning that I want to repeat tonight. Prayer is a sin killer. It takes care of sin. There's
yes,
no way. Some of you looked at me kindly a little bit, I don't know, maybe like a calf looking at a new gate, maybe, this morning when I said that when you pray, there's not going to be sin in your life. I believe that. And the word there and the value of prayer is consistency.
Right.
Those that show up, those that every day have a prayer life, God will answer your prayer.
Yes, sir.
And tonight we're going to do some praying before this service comes to a close. Rose leaned over to me a while ago and said, are you going to pray for Scott? Scott is a man probably my age that was in a church that we pastored that this last Thursday morning he took a knife and tried to cut his jugular vein and his wrist and take his life. We're going to pray for him tonight that God will remove that spirit of hell that's trying to cause Scott to take his life. That the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think I've told you, I know I've told you this story many times about my son-in-law. I did not want him to be a part of our family because he was raised a heathen. And we were praying, God, break up that relationship. And while we were praying that, God speaks to Rose and says, listen, why don't you pray that I save Chad? Because I love him as much as I love your daughter. Now listen, that'll put a whole new perspective on the whole ideology of what you're praying about. And so we begin to pray, God, would you save Chad? There's value in prayer. And a revival service at First Assembly of God in Springdale, Arkansas, he looks over at our daughter in that revival. He's never been to church. He knows nothing about God. And we're praying, God save Chad. He leans over to my daughter and says, I know nothing about how to pray. But he said, I feel something on the inside of me that I need to go to that altar and talk to God tonight. And Chad Fett got saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and he married my daughter. He's the best son-in-law in the world because why? There's value in prayer, and we prayed, and God heard that prayer, and hey, God saved him. And no matter what your need is tonight, he wants to kill the sin problem in your life, in your family's life, in your neighborhood. If we'll pray, God said, I'll hear from heaven and I'll do what you ask me to do. So it's a sin killer. Prayer kills sin. We used to sing the old song, Prayer Bells of Heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, how sweetly they ring. Bearing the message unto Jesus our King. When you are troubled and burdened down with care, ring on and on, for God will answer your prayer. Can I tell you, there's value in prayer tonight. It kills sin in our lives. Number two, prayer will bring the power of God. Prayer will bring the power of God in that upper room that we talked about this morning. And we got in discussion. I was feeling good about the message, and Larry Sanderson killed every bit of it and drug me to the bottom at lunch today. And he says, I don't know if that was the real prayer room or not. Really kill me. And you hurt me, Larry, because I'm facetious. I don't care whether it was the right room or not, do you, brother? Amen. Because in that room, wherever, whatever, how it took place, there was the power of God when they went and tarried in that upper room. Now listen to me. There was something about that upper room and tarrying for the presence of God. They weren't worried about whether or not they were going to get home to watch their favorite television program. Come on, boy, you preach.
Yeah.
They wasn't worried about what was going to happen tomorrow. Jesus just said, go and tarry.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We used to have tarrying services when I was a kid. And we would pray. And we would just tarry. After a while, somebody would say, I've got a testimony to give. And they would stand and testify. And I'm telling you, long about them, something began to happen in the recesses of our soul. And as we prayed and we tarried, we testified. Somebody else would say, let me tell you about the goodness of God. And before you knew it, there was an atmosphere of corporate prayer and the value that changed the church in that day is still the value of prayer that we have today. Wherefore, we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help and mercy in the time of our need. There is value in talking to God. It brings the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. No church can have the spiritual power of God unless there is effectual, fervent prayer being offered up to God. There was told in the church not D.L. Moody, but the other Spurgeon, that he took a group of people through his church, a great phenomenal crowd he had, and he took some folk through his church and he said, let me show you the power room of this church. And so they made their journey down in the basement of the church. And when they got in the basement, there was a rumble that was heard there. Over 700 men on their face saying, God, would you send the Holy Ghost in the service tonight? I remember, and I hate talking about what we used to do, but let me talk about what we used to do when the ladies would gather on that side of the church and the men would gather on that side of the church and they would ring the prayer bells of heaven.
Yes,
sometimes we never got out of that meeting. Sometimes the ladies were over there shouting the presence of God. Why? Because there's value in touching God. And the Bible said, where two or three are gathered in His name. He said, I like that so much. I'll be right in the middle of it. There's value in prayer. It brings the power of Almighty God. It bothers me in this modern day church. I had a person come to me last week. I was preaching in Hot Springs. And this gentleman, it used to bother me. It used to really intimidate me. Matter of fact, he said, I like that old time preaching. That used to bother me. I felt like, what does that mean exactly? Old time preaching. Well, I'll tell you what old time preaching is. It is this book from Genesis to Revelation. They did the prayers of the preacher and the saints of God. It's not old timey. It's up to date. It is still the infallible, ever settled word of Almighty God that is still relevant and prevalent in 2021, and it still will bring the power of God.
Yes, amen.
Yes, it will.
Yes, sir.
Prayer also, we used to talk about pray until you get the victory.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Uh-huh.
Pray until you get the victory. I've told you about my little aunt. She was 4'6" and 4'6" wide, and she was a powerhouse for God. That lady could preach. And one morning about 5:00, I heard something in the kitchen. There was biscuit dough everywhere. And she was in there stomping the floor and shouting. You know what she was shouting? I prayed through. Amen.
Yes,
I've touched God. There's a difference going to happen in the next few weeks. And yet I was the evangelist. And I can't preach now. I sure couldn't preach then. It had nothing to do with flesh. But she prayed through. And we had, I don't know how many saved. I don't know how many filled with the baptism. As God answers the value of prayer, heaven came down. And the glory of God filled our soul. And things changed because of prayer. It brings the victory of the Lord. Praying person, the praying person, a praying individual has confidence that there's not only value in prayer, but there's life in prayer. There's life in prayer. It circumcises all of this flesh.
Yes,
and it gets rid of this flesh, because flesh cannot stand in the presence of a holy God. And prayer and the Word of God causes us to come into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And we used to call it holiness that transpires in our life, and we have holy living.
Yes,
what is holiness? What is holiness? Holiness is simply sanctified, glorified, separated from this world. From this world, I've got a home that's so much better. I'm going to go there sooner or later. I'm separated and sanctified from this world. Sanctification happens only when I pray.
Yeah.
Sanctification happens only when I open this book.
Yes, sir.
This, hey, did you know this book is alive?
Yes, yeah. Yes, sir.
Did you know this book is more than a story, fairy tale?
Yes.
This book will change you. Rose and I went through a difficult time some 11 years ago now. There was some troubling times in our life. I mean, hell came against us. And it just seemed like that we were on an island by ourselves. And Brother Mike, it seemed like that nobody could reach us and nobody could help us. But every morning, I'm feeling this. Every morning I would run to Rose, or she would run to me, and I would say, or she would say, listen to what the Word of God says, and write out the pages of that book in prayer time. God spoke to us through the infallible Word of God, and He would say that day exactly what we needed to hear. And can I tell you tonight, there is joy unspeakable and full of glory as the value of prayer becomes personal in my life and your life. Oh, hallelujah. In Philippians chapter number 4, if you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Philippians now for us Bible scholars is in the New Testament, and it's in page 761 in my Bible. Are you there yet? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 says this: be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Tell us what that means, Brother Bruce. I'm so glad that you asked. Be careful for nothing. That means I am to pray about every situation.
Yes, sir.
Be careful for nothing. And then you put a conjunction in there. But in everything, everybody say everything.
Everything.
With prayer and supplication and talking to God about it. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Oh,
yes, sir.
Listen.
Awesome.
Father, it's your word says it. Here's my need. Here is my need. I bring my alabaster box of ointment to you, Father, and I pour myself out to you. I empty myself of this flesh And everything of my life, Father, I'm not going to give any place for the enemy, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. And then I'm going to praise Him and thank Him because He has heard my prayer. How many times do you pray? Well, you go back the next day and you say, Lord, here's my prayer. Here's my need. You heard me yesterday, but Lord, I want to remind you of it today. I want to bring it before you today. Once again, God, I empty my alabaster box of ointment to you, and I pray that you'll sanctify me wholly in your presence. Let me be a vessel unto honor and meet for the Master's use. And the only way I can do that is through the avenue and the value of prayer that changes me and sends hope. I had a good friend of mine that went to heaven. Catcher got him and he went to heaven. He was an evangelist, one of the greatest Bible teachers that I ever heard. And he was preaching a revival, brother pastor, and he was in somewhere, and he was praying for his family. His brothers were lost, and he's praying for his family. The Lord spoke to him and said, are you listening to me? The same angels that I sent to Abraham's family, Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, I'll send the same angels to your family. Wow. He said, you would do that for me, God? He began to weep. He said, I would do that for you because I'm no respecter of persons. And he began to learn the value of prayer sitting in that church. And he said, about 2 weeks. Already know what I'm going to say, and I'm about to shout. And 2 weeks, his brother, one of them, called him and said, Larry, he said, guess what happened? I'm sitting in the truck. He's a truck driver in somewhere in Texas. And he said, I'm sitting there. And he said, in case you don't know it, brother, I was not drunk. I was not under the influence of anything. I was sitting there in that truck. And he said, all of a sudden on one side of the truck, the door opened and it was an angel. And on the other side, the door opened and it was another angel. And said, we're sent by God. Your brother's over yonder praying and touch God. And we're here on commission by God to tell you that Jesus loves you and you can be saved right there in the cab of that truck. That boy prayed through to old-fashioned, heartfelt, God-touched salvation because of somebody that realized the value of prayer, and they prayed and rung the prayer bells of heaven, and God did the rest. His other brother called him at somewhere around the same time. And he said, let me tell you what happened. He's working in Pennsylvania on the great high steel buildings. And he's there. And he goes to, he's thinking about his salvation and his awfulness of sin that he has participated in. And he's thinking, I need to do something about my lost condition. His buddy Ray was working along beside him. He said, just before I turned to Ray, he said, I saw a tombstone and it had my name on it. And the day that I was born and the day that I was living right there, real explicit, and it was right there before me. And he turned to say something to Ray, and Ray had fallen 70 feet to his death and died right there in front of Larry's brother. And he said, on that still beam, before I ever checked on my friend Ray, who was dead 70 feet below on the ground, he said, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. There's value in prayer tonight. Some of your loved ones, you may have just about given up on. Can I tell you to take it before Jesus one more time? And one more time, believe that there's value in prayer. And present it to the Lord Jesus and let God answer your prayer.
Yes, sir.
There's value in talking to God. The farther we get into prayer and the closer we get to God, prayer will produce this holiness in our lives.
Yes.
This holiness that will cause me to love Jesus with everything that's in me. This holiness which will cause me to love Him more than I love anything else. It's easy for us to get entangled in this world, is it not?
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy for us to look to the right and to the left, and we see stuff that's happening all around us. I got convicted recently because I was criticizing our president, the one now, not another. I was criticizing President Biden. And the Lord convicted me, and He said, I don't think in Scripture it gave you a right to be critical. But I said in Scripture, it's your responsibility to pray for those that are in kingship and in rulership. And I said, Lord, please forgive me. And it's been my duty since then to pray that God. I'm not speaking to you tonight. You may can get by with it. But God dealt with me as I get closer to Him. This holiness thing, I'm dealing with it every day. This holiness thing works on me inside out. And it makes me more than anything else. I want to be who I say I am.
Yes,
and be what I say I am. And have a testimony of holiness and purity before God. And be the preacher of the gospel that God called me to be. It produces holiness.
Yes.
Holiness. Holy. Separated. Consecrated. Christ-like. Christ-like. When He can look over in our life and see the reflection of Jesus Christ. Prayer is something else. Prayer is an obstacle remover.
Uh-huh.
It removes obstacles in our life. There is a scripture that has been misquoted in the Pentecostal ranks so much. And it's in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. Isaiah 10 and 27. It says this, and it shall come to pass that in that day that the burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, comma, and his yoke from off of thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. This neck in this scripture has to do with fatness. See, you've been criticizing me because I'm getting fat. And Rose does that. And I told you, she got me on that slim fast. But I found out a scoop of ice cream makes that better. It does. But this has to do with fatness. The neck of holiness and purity and closeness to God begins to develop so much that the neck in the spiritual sense becomes so fat that it breaks that yoke because of the fatness of the neck in the spiritual sense. And it breaks that yoke, and there's nothing shall offend us, but we'll walk in the purity and the holiness and the anointing. The word anointing there means fatness. I said, stop right there. They'll be shouting and you're still sitting there. The anointing breaks the yoke.
Yes.
How then can I have victory in my life? I come back to this. I feel this in my spirit tonight. How am I going to ever see those kids saved? How will I see those grandkids saved? Coming back to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the more fatter my neck in the spiritual sense becomes, the greater chance of the enemy having any power over me that will be able to say to the serpent and rebuke the serpent. And he said, we'll even be able to say to the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and we shall have whatsoever that we say. How does that come to pass? It only comes to pass as the fatness and the anointing of the Holy Spirit so fills our life that the place of the enemy can no longer have place in our life. Or you listen to the preacher tonight. It's an obstacle remover. And then, trying to close tonight, prayer is a Christ revealer. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. Oh, God, help me to see Jesus more than I've ever seen him before.
Yeah.
The Bible said when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise a standard. How does that happen? It only happens as I realize the value of prayer and I spend time with God.
Yes, sir.
In prayer. Have a rhetorical question for you tonight. And that is this. Why is it that when you get down on your knees to pray, you say, I'm going to spend the next 30 minutes praying. I promise you, the enemy of your soul is going to be there the whole 30 minutes. And he's going to say, did you remember to turn those beans off?
Yeah.
Or did you remember to call so-and-so this morning and remind them they need to do such-and-such? Or, goodness, you need to go by the grocery store and get, and I need to fix that fence down there, or the cattle are going, I need to take care of the chickens.
Yeah.
There's always something, and it overflows, and it comes in, and it bombards. And it's amazing that it does that when we're trying to pray.
Yeah.
Well, preacher, please tell us what the answer to that is. The answer to that is, when the weakest saint of God bows their knee to pray, it scares the enemy to death.
Yes, sir.
It scares him to death because prayer changes things. And you say, well, it doesn't feel like I'm doing any good. Listen, we just need to look for an opportunity to pray.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, this aunt that I was talking about, Rose, I first married, she didn't know my aunt that well. She rode from Heber Springs to Marshall, Arkansas, where I was raised. And jerked up over there. And Rose said the whole time that they rode in that car, my aunt was saying, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, Jesus. No particular reason. She just realized the value of prayer.
Yeah.
I had the opportunity to preach a camp meeting with Brother Don Brinkle 2 years ago in Missouri. It was a section of the Assemblies of God section up there that came together. And we had a camp meeting. Brother Brinkle called me and says, Brother Bruce, would you go? The doctors won't let me speak but one service at a time, and I have to omit the next service. Would you go? Would I go? Preacher Don Brinkle? Yes. Was a kid saying, duh. And so I go. But that's not the amazing thing that I preach with Brother Don Brinkle. Here's the amazing thing. His room was adjacent to mine. He's 92 years old. I talk to him every week. And I pray, Brother Brinkle, would you lay hands on me and pray that some of that anointing that you have over these 70 years of ministry, 72, would you pray that God will impart that? Here it is. All day long. Everybody say all day. All day long, I listened to Don Brinkle in his room, and he was in there saying, oh, God, would you come tonight in the revival, God? Would you touch the revival? And guess what? When it was my night to preach, I heard him over there. Oh, God, touch Bruce tonight. Let the anointing of the Holy Ghost rest upon him. Let a breath. Oh, God, would you send the Holy Ghost tonight? And guess what? when he got into that pulpit, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, when he gave an altar call, I'm telling you, they literally run to the altar. One night specifically, they ran to the altar to find Jesus Christ. And the altar service lasted for an hour and a half as people repented and talked to God. And guess what? Even on my night, because that old man prayed, when I gave an altar call, heaven came down, the glory of God filled that. There is value in prayer tonight.
Amen.
On top of that, he would say, Bruce, go in there and pray. I don't want a backslid preacher in the pulpit preaching tonight. And I did what he said. I went and prayed. This Jesus, it can be revealed in us and through us and by us as we realize and lift him up in the thing called prayer. This prayer will cause Jesus Christ to become the centerpiece of our worship. He will be the centerpiece of our preaching. He will be the centerpiece of our praying. He will be the centerpiece of our study of the Word. He is this prayer is the Christ revealer. And the will of Christ, the will of God, can only be known through this thing we call prayer. Because it pulls down every stronghold. The only way the strongholds can be torn down is through prayer.
Yes, sir.
I thank God that prayer conquers anger. I thank God that prayer sends mercy that's shown to us. I thank God that the love of God is bathed in us as we pray. I thank God that carnality is brought under subjection when we pray. I'm glad that darkness of this world is dispelled and the light of the glory of Jesus shines in us as we realize the value of prayer. I'm glad that it eliminates the evil of this world within us. It's kindly light, and the closer I get to him, the less that Washington, D.C. bothers me. The less that the person across the pew bothers me. The less that my kids, I'm worried about it, because I've learned the avenue of prayer.
Yes.
And it causes carnality to be crucified. And it causes fire to rise up in me. It's not fire of flesh, but it's a fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm so tired of flesh. I'm just so tired of doing the same old, and saying hallelujah, glory to God, we had a little touch tonight. I want a baptismal service in the fear of God, in conviction, in repentance. And when that happens, I'm telling you, things will change in our church, in our family. Mm-hmm. It brings a baptism in us that rises up. And you just are about the Father's business. And Brother Smith Wigglesworth was sitting on a bench in a park. He was an Englishman. Brother Smith Wigglesworth would probably hurt your feelings if he preached tonight. Because I know of the man that went to visit Brother Wigglesworth. Now this is holiness. And he knocks on the door, and Brother Wigglesworth comes to the door, and he said, sir, I'd like an audience with you. What's that in your hand? And he said, oh, it's a newspaper. And he said, you leave the newspaper out there, and you're welcome in here, and we'll get you repented over reading ungodly stuff. You know, back when we preached against television, the worst thing on there was old Barney Fife.
Yeah.
You've heard me say it. I mean, goober. I mean, how bad can that be? You know, we got a situation on our hands, Andy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not bad. But now then, you know, darkness has pervaded itself because of what? Mm-hmm. Lack of prayer.
Yes, sir.
Man, there's value in it. Oh, listen. I don't want to be mean-spirited tonight. You ought to know me by now. I don't have any mean-spirited stuff in me. I don't believe I do. But I do have a desire for Trinity Chapel Pentecostal Church of God to catch a hold of what the value of prayer is. Yes, and a prayer break out over here, yeah. And it breaks out in your home. It breaks out in your home, and the next thing you know, Brother Mike steps to the pulpit, and there's such a presence and anointing of the Holy Ghost that he just stands there and lets that sweet breath of heaven, amen, hover itself over this place. I believe it can happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We're going to pray. Brother Chris, if you'll just get ready. Doesn't really mean anything that I'm sending him up there. It's just that we're getting toward that direction.
Yeah.
And so, Brother Brinkle, that I mentioned a minute ago, was asked to go to Oklahoma City to hold a revival. Brother Brinkle was the busiest evangelist in the Assemblies of God, and he preached more camp meetings and district meetings than any other of their preachers. So he was well known. But I tell you what I like about him, he wanted God more than anything else.
Yeah.
Keep your offerings, keep all of that, just bring Jesus. And he goes to this church, he cancels every meeting that he has. He goes to this church, the church runs about 700 or 800, it's a large church. And he goes 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, nothing. Nothing. He said, I realized after Sunday morning service that Sunday night we could have at least 400 saved because they didn't come back.
Come on.
You'd have to know Brother Branko, but you'll get that after a while. He said, so there's 400. I knew we could get saved, but on the fifth night, Sister Brenda, her fifth week, on that Sunday night, there was a man in the church that stood up and he said, say, I'm a leader in this church. Matter of fact, I'm a deacon. And he said, I don't have gross sin that we would categorize as bad stuff. He said, I'm just not as close to God as I need to be. And I want to repent before this church and ask you to forgive me. And now then I'm headed to the altar and I'm going to ask God to forgive me. Are you ready for this? For 1.5 hours, Brother Branko leaned against the pulpit. Leaned against that pulpit for 1.5 hours as people stood in that church and confessed sin. For 16 weeks, revival broke out from that fifth week. And for 16 weeks, he said, I have no idea how many people got saved. I have no idea how many people got filled with the Holy Ghost. But somewhere in that first 5 weeks, they got a hold of the value of prayer. I wish I could pray or I could preach and get us under conviction of prayer tonight. I wish this preacher was more convicted about prayer than I am. Prayer changes things.
Yes, it does.
If you believe that prayer changes things, you want God to do something special in your life tonight, without anything other said, get out of your seat and make your way to the front of this building and just stand here with me tonight. Just stand across this building.